Chapter 3, The Bounty, Part 1. Only a few weeks later, Din was sitting across from Grief Karga in the Cantina's Guild, looking through the bounty pucks available to him. Karga was leaning back in his booth, looking down his nose at Din.
You could always take some time off, Mando. You're one of my best. You pull in twice the credits of my next hunter. Rest.
The guild agent should have known him better than that by now. Din never stopped working.
What's the highest bounty you have?
Karga chuckled. Din simply stared from behind the helmet, with a stillness that made his targets squirm. But he'd known Din too long to quail under the look.
I don't know what I expected, he sighed. Well, you're in luck. I was recently contacted by the Brood. Apparently, they've decided that they need some help tracking down one of their more elusive debtors. The bounty is high, even by your, exclusive standards. Just for a gambling debt? Seems like overkill.
Karga waved a hand dismissively.
They've never been able to let anything go. This one's been hiding from them for almost 3 decades. My perception is that it's more a matter of principle than the credits. Although the debt is substantial.
Din nodded shortly, and Karga got the message, pulling a small data pad from an interior pocket of his jacket and passing it to him.
No, Puck. They gave me this to pass along to whoever took the job. Pretty standard info. Profile, known contacts, confirmed sightings from their sources. I'm sure you can figure it out from there.
Thank you. Din stood to leave, and Karga dismissed him with a lazy salute. On the way to the tribe's covert, Din flipped through the information on the datapad. There was a lot of it. The Haxian Brood, in Din's limited experience, was nothing if not thorough. It did make him wonder how this debtor could have possibly escaped the Brood's formidable commandos for so long. They weren't Mandalorians, but they were competent. Grease Dietrus was the target's name. He was an ancient Latero, with white mutton chops and black eyes. Din was thinking that this would likely be the easiest job he'd ever taken when he scrolled a little further down and realized he'd made a terrible mistake. Listed as the target's personal transportation was an S-161 XL named Stinger Mantis. Din never forgot a ship. The attached image confirmed it was the same one he'd seen leaving Cal Shabal all those months ago. That was a Poncho's ship. Din stopped in his tracks. He could still turn back to the cantina. He could tell Grief Karga that something had come up and that he'd have to foist the Brood on some other hapless soul. But Din wasn't going to do that. That wasn't the way. He took the job. He was honor-bound to finish it. At least he had some idea of what he was up against. He could be better prepared this time. Din sighed heavily, flicked off the datapad, and continued on to the covert.
You seem troubled.
It wasn't a question. The armorer had barely glanced up from the pauldron she was tempering. One consequence of growing up in a culture without faces. Everyone was exceptionally good at reading body language. There was no hiding anything from his brothers and sisters in the tribe, particularly the armorer. When Din didn't answer her immediately, she continued,
"You will be due for new equipment soon."
"Save it for the foundlings. My armor is fine."
"The damage to your vambrace says otherwise."
Din looked down at his wrist. She wasn't wrong. The tarnished Beskar, far from pure, was mostly decorative at that point. As the years passed, Beskar only grew more scarce. Only his helmet was pure. The rest of his armor was a hodgepodge of alloys, masterfully crafted but impermanent in his line of work.
"Qui ogir olar,"
Din mumbled, but removed the vambrace and passed it to the armorer, along with the majority of his earnings.
"Orijate. The tribe thanks you."
She set to work immediately, preparing to reforge the piece.
After several minutes had passed in comfortable silence, Din cleared his throat. In my travels, my work, I keep meeting this man. The armorer stopped what she was doing and faced him.
Is that so?
She said, her voice strained. It took Din a moment to process her tone. His face began to heat up under his helmet, and he jumped to correct her.
No, not like that, no,
he finished. The armorer slowly turned back to her work, an almost inaudible huff of laughter or exasperation, Din wasn't sure, escaping her.
He undermined one of my jobs, and then I came across him again. I asked him if he was following me, and he denied it. Now I believe he's connected to my next bounty. It just seems improbable.
You believe this man lied to you?
Yes? No? I don't know. It's just the odds.
There is more that ties the members of the galaxy together than bounties and misdeeds.
Din wasn't sure if that was helpful or not. The light of the furnace danced across the armorer's golden helmet as she leaned towards it, intent on her craft.
This vambrace will be complete within the hour. I'll include some new tools as well.
Din recognized the dismissal, bowing his head respectfully, and left the workshop. The soft humming of the mantis sliding through hyperspace guided Cal into the Force. He spent hours upon hours just like this, in deep meditation, listening. He reached out. He felt the anchoring presence of Master Seer in the galley with a stack of data pads and flimsy. He felt Grease's focus on his beloved ship's controls drifting back from the cockpit. He felt the twisting of the leaves in the planter as they bent towards their heat lamp. He heard the distant scratching of boggling claws on Durasteel. Cal missed Marin's distinctive Force signature, but he understood that she had her own order to rebuild. Reaching further into the Force, Cal could sense the pull of the others, all of the Force-sensitive children that were out there, needing help, all of the work they still had to do to rebuild the trust that the Empire had destroyed. When the Empire had been crippled after the Battle of Yavin, Cal had sensed the darkness receding, just like all the remaining Jedi had. But it wasn't gone, and no number of victories would bring back the loss of his people. Even without the Emperor hunting them down, the galaxy wasn't a safe place for people like Cal. And on top of all that, the little insistent tug of awareness that the Force had plans just for him as well.